Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. We are now just about 24 hours away from a very important night in Grizzlies history, maybe the most important night over the last decade or so. It's an opportunity to get better or to get worse. It's an opportunity to make a huge push forward or to make a cataclysmic mistake and go backwards. There's usually not much in between with the Grizzlies when it comes to these sorts of decisions. So we will see what happens. I am Peter Edmiston, and we're going to talk draft, rumors, all that stuff coming up here on the podcast. Also, at the end, we're going to hear from our friend Kevin Leip, who joined me on my radio show on Sports 56 and 87.7 on Tuesday morning. And we're going to hear from Kevin Leip about what he thinks is going to happen in the draft and what should happen for the Grizzlies. So ultimately, the rumors are fascinating and interesting. And not typically, well, I guess it is kind of typical for the Grizzlies, but not very good for the Grizzlies of late. Jaren Jackson now joining Mo Bamba as guys who basically said, we're not going to talk to you, Memphis. We don't want to go to you. We don't want to be seen by you. We don't want you to come near us. We don't like the way you're looking at us. I won't even send you a photo. No medicals. No nothing. Won't work out. Zero. You get nothing. And you're going to have to like it. That's what they're saying. Luka Doncic apparently is not giving out much information to very many teams as well. Grizzlies, I presume, are one of those teams that have struggled to get him in. I mean, the Grizzlies haven't gotten anyone in other than Wendell Carter. No one else has come of note to work out. Grizzlies have a private workout scheduled for Wednesday morning/afternoon. It was a public workout, but I'm told just some snafus behind the scenes, nothing major, nothing like earth-shattering or anything like that. There's not a big-time prospect that snuck into the building. It's just more of a logistical thing, the reason why that became a private workout rather than a public one, so don't read too much into that from the Grizzlies' perspective. So, knowing all that stuff, and then taking into account the fact that the rumor mill swirling about Luka Doncic, now a champion again, winning the ACB title, yesterday, another ring to add to his collection, the most decorated 19-year-old maybe in the history of basketball, with the talk that Luka is now catching more attention in Atlanta, that the Hawks are looking at him and that the Hawks are going to, you know, potentially take him, or at least give, I think the phrasing from Woj's tweet, and this is where it comes from. The phrasing of Woj's tweet was something like the internal discussions have turned towards Luka Doncic. I mean, again, that's such a bizarre phrasing. I don't know exactly what that means. I guess like you weren't talking about him before, but now you're talking about him now, like they wouldn't talk about him at all because they didn't think he was going to be there. And now they're talking. I don't know exactly what that means in the context of this draft. But if they take Luka Doncic, again, we talked about it on the pod, you know, quite a bit over the last few weeks. Like, I just have never really thought that Luka was going to be there at four for whatever reason, whether it's Atlanta and this rumor is, you know, legit. And this is just, you know, Woj reporting what's actually out there and they really are talking about him and they really are just going to take him and be done with it. Or whether it's what I think is probably more likely, Atlanta just trying to drum up even more interest and say, hey guys, you know, we might take him. We might just take Doncic. You're going to have to get up to three if you want to take Luka. If you're into Luka, you're going to have to get up there. You know, that may be what they're kind of signaling with that. You see a lot of that in these rumors as well. That could be. Either way, I do think that it's going to be a case where Luka's not there at four. I just don't see it happening. I don't think he's going to be there. And if he's there, then that's a no-brainer. You take him and you are thrilled and you are unbelievably lucky and ecstatic and it's a, you know, game changer for your franchise. If he's not there, that becomes much more interesting. That becomes much more questionable. And now you start to get into all of the scenarios that have been thrown out there over the last few weeks. I think most people kind of thought Ayton was certainly going to go one. There's no change there. Number two was the kind of the flex point because no one really has a great idea of what Sacramento is going to do. But the fact that Marvin Bagley wants to go there, worked out there, that certainly is a bonus for him. That's kind of the way it worked last year with De'Aaron Fox. They took him because he worked out there and he wanted to go there. You know, for a market like Sacramento, and much like Memphis and Wendell Carter, you know, he's the only guy that came to Memphis. That probably will help him in the draft room. That probably will help him in the process. So if Bagley goes to Sacramento, then at three, you have a lot of question. And most people kind of thought, you know, Jaren Jackson was the guy for Atlanta. And he may still be. You know, they may still be taking Jaren Jackson when all's said and done. But maybe they're just kind of ginning up the interest and trying to get somebody to jump up ahead of them to take Luka. I don't know. But I do know that if they take Luka, now it's a very imperfect situation for the Grizzlies. Because now you end up with Jaren Jackson, who, I think is the second best player in the draft, so that's my choice all day, every day. Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba, and, I mean, have both openly just scorned and do not want to go to Memphis. You've got those guys. You have Michael Porter, who, ironically, may be the only guy to give medical information to the Grizzlies. You have him, but you have all the questions that surround him, and they've only gotten louder over the last few days. Jeff Goodman reporting that one team has completely wiped him off their board altogether. That may be Dallas, because there was another report that said Dallas did not clear him medically after they saw him. Goodman also said other teams have expressed varying levels of concern about what they saw on his medicals. And so if that's the case, you can't take him in Memphis. Come on, man. Let's get serious. Then you start to get to Carter. Is Carter worth taking at four? Trae Young at four? The latest mock has Trae Young, the latest ESPN Givony Draft Express mock, has Trae Young all the way down at 12. Do you take him at four? I would. I took him in the Locked On Podcast Network mock draft. I took him four. But is that the best value? I don't know. I wasn't offered any trades in that mock, so couldn't get anything done. So I had to take Trae Young at four. I think he's terrific value, honestly, because of the how productive he's going to be. But, you know, is that the best way to use that pick? I don't know. You know, Carter's where he is, where he is. I mean, then you've got the other guys who are not as good necessarily, but who could certainly end up being very good for you when all is said and done. You know, you can't take them at four, though. Your Mikal Bridges, your Kevin Knoxes, your Miles Bridges, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, those types of players, Lonnie Walkers, you can't really take them at four either. So you're left with either an imperfect selection, a player that doesn't necessarily want to come to you, you're going to have to pick him, a player who you may be reaching for at that position, or I suppose now you open up the possibility of trading down. And that's a whole new set of challenges for the Grizzlies and the front office to try to wrestle with and to figure out what you're going to do. We'll talk about that after the break. So now you're talking about a situation where, you know, if you trade down, who are you searching for? What are you trying to get? I think ideally, if you're trading down, the ideal situation for the Grizzlies, the one that would absolutely be the best, is if you can get off of Chandler Parsons' deal and stay in the draft to a reasonable level. If you could trade, again, it sounds as though the deal with the Clippers is probably not going to include Chandler Parsons, but that would be the one that would be the most ideal situation for me, is the four Chandler Parsons for 12, 13, and some level of, you know, compensation coming back. I think, you know, there's no way you could get Tobias Harris and, you know, Boban or something else to match it. I think that would be too much from the Clippers side, but that would be an ideal situation. You know, barring that, I still think going down to 12 and 13 and getting a player, Chris Harrington and I talked about a deal, and he suggested maybe Patrick Beverley and the 12 and 13 for McLemore and the four. I'm okay with that. If you're going to trade down, I'm okay with that. Getting off McLemore, that'd be fine. You know, ultimately, 12 and 13 in this draft, if the three guys that are gone are gone, and if you don't believe in Jaren Jackson the way I do, then I think you can get 12 and 13. Hell, you may get Trae Young at 12. I don't think so, but maybe. I mean, that's the mock. So who knows? If you can do that, I think that's one you have to strongly consider. I'm not as big on the Bulls discussions. 7 and 22, maybe you could get the Bulls to take some of your money, like a McLemore or a Jarrell Martin contract. You know, save yourself $8 million or so. You're not getting Parsons taken into their cap space, but you could get a smaller deal maybe. Yeah, I'm okay with that, I guess. That's not my ideal one because I think at 22, the player you get at 22 is going to be materially the same player you get at 32. I think probably, I haven't gamed it all the way out, but I'm guessing, you know, somewhere around 18 to 20, it really flattens out. And the players between 20 and 40, 20 and 50 are really close. And there's not going to be a major difference in terms of those picks. So I'm okay with the 7 part of it, but the 22 seems, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of value at that pick this year as you would in other years. So I would tend to lean away from that. I would prefer 2 lottery picks, even if they're late lottery picks. I think that's going to be a significant upgrade in terms of the overall young player value that you get. Possibility, I guess, of looking at, you know, something with Philly as well, with the 10 and the 26 they've got, and then they've got 4 seconds. And if you could package enough of that stuff together, you know, they've got cap space that they're probably holding on to for much bigger purposes, like LeBron James. But if you could get off some money there, that would be an ideal scenario. Something involving a player and a pick from the Magic moving up. Though it seems like they're reasonably set with either Bamba or Trae Young maybe going to them. So I don't know that would be a spot where you could see them actually, you know, doing that. But you could maybe go with something like Fournier in the 6. A deal like that and involving the 4 and you get off some of your money. I think that's, again, those are the types of deals I would be interested in if you're going to trade. I think you can't, if you're going to get off money, you cannot use the 4 just to get off money, period, end of story. You got to use it to get off some money, sure, but to stay in this draft. You cannot just whiff on this thing. You cannot just use it as a way to try to save yourself some cash. That would be a crime. So I don't think that's a possibility. I really don't. So all this stuff is out there, and it's very reminiscent to me of, my worry is paralysis by analysis. You know, when you watch Netflix and you turn it on and you've got all these different options and you just don't choose anything because there's so many choices. You just sort of scroll through and eventually you find something, but you settle because maybe you could do something else. I don't know. We should watch this. And you're trying to organize it. You and your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is that whatever your arrangement is, you're talking, your friends, your buddies, let's watch. No one can figure anything out. And you end up settling on something because you just sort of have to. Yeah, that's my worry here. There's so many choices for the Grizzlies, none of them perfect, apart from Luka, who is perfect. The other choice is not perfect. They just settle, and there's a lot of people involved in this process. There's a lot of different motivations for those people, some short-term, some long-term. It's a worrisome time. I would much rather it be more streamlined and more simple, but it does not appear that is the case for the Grizzlies. So here is where we are. Now, with regard to the players and Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba, whoever, I don't care that they have said they don't want to come to Memphis. You should not be insulted by that. I am certainly not insulted by that as someone who lives in the city of Memphis. No one should be insulted by that. That is somebody using the power that they have to try to determine their own future. That is good. I would do the same thing if I were in their position. I would do the exact same thing. I would try to go at the best place for my development. Do the Grizzlies have any kind of track record of development? No, they don't. If you're a young player and you see 10 years of failed picks of guys that they traded early on or just cut because they didn't develop, had to dump at some stage, you know, you can't just make a whole bunch of bad picks. At some point, you're the problem. You're not making 10 years worth of bad picks. Some of those picks might well have been good, but they didn't have chance, whether it was because of injury, lack of development, Grizzlies gave up on them too soon, whatever it may be. Plenty of different situations have cropped up, but they've all had one thing in common. They've all been failures. So if you're a young player, why would you go to that situation where, yeah, the ownership's changed, but it's not especially stable? The front office is still very nebulous. The track record isn't very good. You don't really know what the motivation of the team is, because you've got an owner that's come out and saying he expects a 50-win season while you have a squad that doesn't really match that. If you're a big man, especially, you've got Marc Gasol in front of you. So, you know, if you're a center, how much are you actually going to play? I don't see it being an insult. If I were in Jaren Jackson or Mo Bamba's shoes, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't want to come to Memphis. It's not a great scenario for them. But I promise you this, if you pick them, they will come. This is not Steve Francis and the Vancouver Grizzlies. They will come. They will show up. They will put the jersey on or have it in the little press conference. They'll hold it up. It'll be a long story that they'll tell and say, I talked about this, but really, I'm just happy to be here. I'm ready to go. And they will play. And you have 5 years at bare minimum, 5 years to change their mind about their development, about your franchise, about what you're going to do for them. You have those 5 years. Now, with the Grizzlies, who knows? Very few of their draft picks last that long. Maybe they give up on you. Who knows? You can't predict the future. But I get it from the player's perspective, the draft. In other lines of work, you don't have a draft typically. You don't just get a city assigned to you by the league office. You know, you don't just do that more often than not. So I get it. But to me, it's a little bit like, you know, the Army or, you know, military thing. You know, you sign up for the military, you could be stationed wherever and you'll go. You might not like it. You might be much happier in San Diego than you were in Duluth. But, you know, you had to go to Duluth, so you went to Duluth. You probably tried to go to San Diego. You probably had somebody make some phone calls for you, if you could. If you knew somebody, one of the higher-ups that could pull a few strings, you probably tried to get that plum assignment in Honolulu or San Diego or, wherever you wanted to go. You'd try that. I certainly would. But if you don't get it, you're not just going to – you can't just quit. So it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. They can say what they want. I don't blame them. I would do the same thing. I would try to determine my fate as well. And it doesn't matter, because you're going to get a chance when they come, and they will. You'll have a chance to sell your product and your franchise and their development and all that to them. And that'll be that on that. If it doesn't work in 5 years and they're really good and they take, you know, after that rookie contract is up and they take the qualifying offer and they become an unrestricted free agent, then you've really screwed it up. You've really screwed it up, and that's probably on you. It's really unlikely that that happens. So, long story short, I think Jaren Jackson's the best guy on the board, apart from Luka. I would take him. I respect a lot of you that don't. That's okay. We can have differing opinions on that. No problem. I get it. And so, that's okay. But whatever the Grizzlies do, just have commitment to do it. Just believe in it, do it, stick with it, because they've really struggled to do that over the last few years. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. There's so much more about the draft that who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I would imagine we'll hear plenty of rumor, speculation, all sorts of stuff. You can vote in my poll. It's on my Twitter feed right now. At Peter Edmiston. The question is very simple. It's yes or no. Is this whole draft thing going to work out for the Grizzlies? Is it going to work out well? Yes or no? Thus far, as I tape this, it is 75-25 no. So not a lot of you are real optimistic. But hey, there's plenty of chance to change that. So go ahead and vote over there. You can check out my Twitter feed at Peter Edmiston to do that. Coming up here after the break, you're going to hear my interview from earlier. I said Tuesday earlier. It's Wednesday. Earlier Wednesday morning with Kevin Leip of the Memphis Flyer. We go over some of these issues with him, get his thoughts on a lot of different things surrounding the Grizzlies and the draft. That's next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Kevin Leip from the Memphis Flyer is going to help sort through all of this and work this thing out. Kevin Leip, how are you this morning?
Well, I was good until I heard you talking. Now I'm a little down.
Well, I was saying this is like, it's like the scene in the horror movie when things are starting to get bad, and you're the victim or soon to be victim is starting to sort of creep up to the room where all the hauntings have happened, and you know in your mind, oh my God, this is not going to work out. This isn't going to be great. But it's still happening right in front of you, and you can't stop it. That's kind of how I feel, Kevin. I wish that weren't the case, but I can't help it.
I share a little bit of that. I've got a thing that's either going to go up on the site today or tomorrow, kind of exploring that feeling a little bit. This draft has been so crazy. I don't remember quite as much gamesmanship around kind of the top five picks in a while. I think it's been a while since we've had one that was this kind of cloak and dagger. I mean, you don't know what's happening with Porter. Mo Bamba is refusing to work out with Grizzlies. I think just yesterday somebody pointed out, like Sean Devaney said, that Hawks were definitely not taking Doncic.
Yep.
Somebody else, I think the Draft Express guy said they definitely were taking Doncic, and those are both pretty plugged in guys. I mean, there's just no telling what's going to happen. It's crazy, and the Grizzlies find themselves in a position where basically there's three guys in the draft who are kind of, I would say, obvious, and they have the fourth pick. So
sounds familiar.
Unless
doesn't
one
it?
Of those, yeah, I mean, unless one of those guys falls to them, unless Bagley or Doncic, or I don't really like Ayton that much, honestly. But I guess if he falls to you and you pick him, you're at least not going to get roasted for it.
Well, he's not falling. I mean, that's a zero chance situation. If he were to somehow not get taken by Phoenix, he would absolutely get snapped up by somebody. So you're not getting him. You're not getting him. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. But obviously, like if one of those three guys falls to them, great. But if one of them doesn't, they have to make a decision or several decisions immediately. And I'm not sure I trust them to do that. I'm not sure anybody trusts them to do that. They have a history of not necessarily making the best decisions in those situations.
That would be something of an understatement, but yes, I would agree with that. Going back a long way, do you think? Because this is where I was talking, like the history of the draft. If you go back, there was a stretch between 09 and 16. I guess the 16 draft was the first one where it happened, but where they didn't have a single guy that they drafted or acquired as a rookie, as an undrafted free agent, who lasted more than 2 years. That's a 6-year stretch. You didn't have anybody. You just had this gaping maw of nothing in terms of development. Then you throw 16 in, where you pick Wade Baldwin, 17th in the draft, a pretty primo slot, where we've seen a lot of good players go, and then you cut him the next year. If you're a player, I mean, I get people are saying, oh, it's Memphis, it's the market, it's whatever. To me, Kevin, it's the franchise. Like, why do you think that as a young player, this franchise is going to develop you when they sure as hell haven't developed anybody for a decade?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing you have to prove, right? I think over the last couple of years, they've done a little bit better job of that, but it's only in the last couple of years. I mean, Dylan Brooks and Andrew Harrison are kind of the first rookie guys to get significant minutes in a decade. And I put a lot of that on Lionel Hollins and Dave Yeager, but it's also on the front office not demanding that they play those guys, right? And creating a situation where, especially through the Yeager years, I mean, I think he felt like he was coaching for his job every night and couldn't afford to lose because he played a young guy, rightly or wrongly. I mean, they kind of set up a culture where we need to make the playoffs and we're not gonna take any risks that might keep that from happening. And you can't develop players that way, especially when you're drafting late in the first round and the guys you're drafting are not even necessarily great picks for where you're taking it. But, I mean, look, they had Damari Carroll, right? Damari Carroll's had a pretty successful NBA career once he got out of Memphis. He was on the roster at one point.
Yeah, but they took him and had no idea what they were doing with him. I mean, they just had no clue, did not even, was like, what do we do with this guy? I don't know. I mean, nothing. There was no thought.
Let him run around like an idiot and teach him how to play basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been very frustrating to see that sort of thing happen. You sign Roddy Zagorats to a 3-year deal, and then you're like, whoa, geez, wait a second. We got a roster crunch. Up, cut him. What?
Yeah, that's the least excusable thing they've done in a long time. It's carried 20 guys on contract into training.
What are you doing? Like, what's happening right now? Again, Wade Baldwin, I get that his attitude sucked, and you know all this Russell Westbrook-esque thing is vastly overrated, but if you take a guy, a point guard who you know is raw, everyone knew going in. I mean, that's the number one thing on Baldwin was like, look, this guy's got a lot of athleticism, but man, he's raw. The attitude's a little iffy. You're going to have to work with this guy. And you cut him the next year. That should just be off the table. Like, you take a guy, there's no way you cut him. No matter, you cannot cut a first. You just can't do it. Why? What are you doing?
Well, I would argue that the attitude was so bad that they shouldn't have picked him in the first place.
I agree. I understand. I'm with you, but you did. You put yourself in that position. You picked him. So once you absorbed that, whatever the potential of whatever that was going to turn into, you got to live with it. You got to roll with it. You got to try to make it work. That part baffles me still to this day. That whole sequence at the beginning of this past season just baffles me to this point.
Well, I mean, I think some of that's also on, they went into that training camp assuming, yes, we have these guys under contract, but Jarrell Martin and Andrew Harrison are not going to make it out of camp. And then they, to their credit, overperformed in camp, and I think caused a lot of confusion, these guys might actually be NBA players, and the Grizzlies then had to do something. And I think what they did was maybe not the smart thing, but I think it was pretty clear from day one that Zagorats was just not going to – he's not fast enough. But that's why you don't sign that guy to a 3-year deal in the first place.
Exactly. So with that in mind then, what's your personal board? Like after – I mean, you can roll through everybody if you want. But, I mean, what's your personal Kevin Light big board?
My number one is Doncic, that's far and away. I think if he falls to you, you take him no matter what. Beyond that, I like Bagley's okay. I like Jaren Jackson a lot. If he's on the board, I'd like that pick if they made it. You know, there's an issue. Nobody's really seen him play that much at the college level, but I think he's a really talented guy, and I'd be fine with that pick. I think that's a guy you can take with the fourth pick of the draft and be safe. Now him and Bagley both, I think, they are not guys that you are going to slot into your team next year and have them contribute immediately. I mean, Bagley offensively maybe, but defensively he's going to get abused. So if they are still, which look, Robert Pera, I know you know this, made his triannual media appearance and said that they're that. I don't know.
I'm well aware. I'm well aware of the circumstances around this one. I can tell you.
not to bring up a sore subject, but Robert Pera made like his first media appearance in forever and said that they're going to win 50 games. So obviously their strategy is to be good next year and to draft someone who's going to help next year. I think that's stupid, but I think that's what they're going to do. So, you know, maybe I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they don't even think Bagley and, I mean, they like Bagley. I know they like Bagley, but maybe they don't think Jaren Jackson helps them next year. Maybe they don't pick him. And then I just think, you know, there's not really anybody that I would want them to take at the four who's on that board. I think after that, then you start exploring, well, maybe we can trade down to six. Maybe we can trade down to seven, get something back. Maybe four and Parsons is the thing that's floated out there, but I don't know who's going to do that. Maybe you can con Orlando into four and Parsons for six and Fournier, but that seems unreasonable. But there are moves to be made. I think if you can move back to 7 and 8, take like a 3-and-D guy. I like Mikal Bridges a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A player like that. If you can trade back to 7 or 8 and then take one of those guys, I'm fine with that. That makes sense.
Who's
basically the only thing that's going to cause me to like set myself on fire at the FedEx Forum Plaza is if they draft Michael Porter. I might delete my Twitter account if that happens.
Yeah, here the Porter thing. Jeff Goodman
with a report this morning saying, or with a Twitter tweet report, whatever, I don't know how to phrase it exactly, but he says, while talking to multiple NBA execs, which, by the way, so many people talk about, NBA execs must just be on the phone constantly with people, the various reporters. I mean, just must be constantly. I don't even know how they get trade talks done because they're talking to so many reporters. But anyway, while talking to multiple NBA execs, hearing varying degrees of concern about Michael Porter Jr. and his back, one being told to stay away completely by medical staff, others told to be concerned about long-term risk. Will be interesting to see where he lands tomorrow. One report out of Dallas said that the Mavs staff utterly rejected him altogether. They just knocked him right off the board completely. Maybe that's
who. Oh, so the Grizzlies are going to sign him to a 3-year deal then?
That I was saying. I think we've seen how this goes before when the Mavericks are a 6'10 wing who has medical issues that knock him off the Mavericks board. I think we've seen how this thing turns out, and it's not pretty. My other question would be, if you are like the risk reward for Michael Porter, like, what's the upside? This guy's not Kevin Durant. He's not that good. He's not that long. There's major question about it. If you like that style,
I thought he was like Kevin Durant and what was it? Kevin Durant.
It was Kevin Durant, Tracy McGrady, and Giannis, Greek Freak. It was Greek Freak, which, you know, he certainly is proud of himself, and it's an honor to be in the conversation that I started with those guys, which I appreciate. Again, like I said, a lot of people compare me to Jesus and Mother Teresa, and it's an honor to be in that that conversation, Kevin. So I appreciate that. It's a conversation I started.
You are
myself.
About as attractive. You are about as attractive as Mother Teresa. So I see it.
So if you like the style, if you like this guy, why not just take Kevin Knox? Kevin Knox is very similar. He's 6'9" as opposed to 6'10" and a half. He's, I mean, frame wise, similar style. The game is very similar. He has a million times less risk involved in his back or his body. What on earth is making you think that Michael Porter is worth all this? I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, and I think there should be like a mob outside of 191 Beale with pitchforks if that happened, but surely they're not that dumb, right?
I cannot think so. I really can't. I hope he's off the board altogether, but I genuinely cannot see that that's the case. Here's the other thing. I got a couple questions here. They're sort of related. We'll start with the first one here. What do you think is the mindset? What is the motivational factor causing agents, players to run from the Grizzlies as if the Grizzlies had Ebola? I can't look at you. I can't talk to you. I can't send you anything. I can't send you even an 8x10 glossy of me. I can't send that to you. Nothing. Do not look at me. Don't call me. Don't text me. From Mo Bamba, from Jaren Jackson. Apparently Luka is not real thrilled about the whole thing. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I mean, there's a long tradition of first round picks not going anywhere, coming to Memphis. I mean, but there's also a long tradition of people not wanting to play for the Grizzlies. As Steve Francis started that honored tradition. I think part of it is small market, but I also think they were really bad. They've been not great for a while. They've been from outside appearances, it's taken them a long time to transition from an old school franchise to one that kind of at least pretends to be modern. I think the three coaches and four seasons thing is a big deal. Or three coaches and three seasons, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, they don't project stability. The ownership situation, while the buy-sell agreement stuff is resolved, quote unquote, we don't really know what that looks like. And that's recent. I mean, this is a franchise that's had a lot of uncertainty hanging over it for a long time. And I think still has some uncertainty hanging over it until, number one, we know exactly what the buy-sell stuff shakes out and what that does to the ownership group percentages, that kind of thing. I think, we'll see if they're really going to support Bickerstaff the way that they say they're going to. We'll see if he's actually a good NBA coach. There's a lot of wait and see with the Grizzlies right now. And even though all of that is the case, they are still making noise about, oh, we're a playoff team if we're healthy, when they haven't been healthy in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. There is a lot of uncertainty. And there's a lot of potential for things with the Grizzlies to be bad for the next 2-3 years. Now, if I'm Luka Doncic, maybe I'm not as excited about it, but I do think in terms of players who could come here and fit in and work out well, I mean, obviously, the Spanish League connection, Marc Gasol is a Euro guy. They're gonna understand each other's games and be able to play together in a way that I think would be really complimentary. And not every team has that. But I get it.
The second part of that would be if you are the Grizzlies and you know all this stuff, and these guys have made it clear they don't want to come, does that matter to you at all? Do you care? Does it make you not pick them?
Well, they're not picking Mobamba anyway.
No, but like Jaren Jackson is theoretical. Mobamba, they were never going to pick Mo, but Jaren Jackson certainly is possible. And Luka would not have given them any information either. So same kind of thing. And they definitely would be interested in Luka. Would that affect you at all? Or is this all just a song and dance? And once the guy's picked, then they're going to mend fences quickly and go on about their business.
I think a lot of it's song and dance, honestly. I think that's kind of what I was talking about in the beginning. There's been so much maneuvering in this draft. I think more than normal. At the end of the day, you're going to get signed to a guaranteed deal for like $10 million.
Right.
And the money's the same no matter who it comes from.
Exactly.
And I don't think it should matter that much to these guys because, some of that is true. Like the Grizzlies, if they do stay healthy and if things break the right way, they could be all right. I don't think that's a likely outcome, but it is certainly a possible outcome. And, I think there's a lot of gamesmanship going on. And I do think that the perceived or actual instability over the last few years has made them a less desirable destination. But, at the end of the day, the checks, as long as the check's clear, you're an NBA player making millions of dollars, and I'm not sure it should matter that much.
So, and I don't think it really would, at least. I mean, you're talking about this guy. Not only do you have him for your first 4 years, but unless the guy just takes his qualifying offer and takes the risk of being an unrestricted free agent, you likely would have him for at least 8 or 9 years under your control if you pick a guy. So, mm-hmm. and it's absolute minimum you have him for 5. That's the bare minimum of whatever. You got him for 5 years. So that's whatever he wants. Again, in my world, we wouldn't have a draft. In my world, it would be a hard cap very high hard cap, and then you could pay whoever, whatever. No maximum. You like DeAndre Ayton, you could pay him $30 million. I don't care. Whatever. That'd be fine. But we don't live in that world. So while it is what it is, the organization has control for 5 years no matter what. So to me, Kevin, it's like, hey, man, you don't want to play here? Sorry. What are you going to sit out for 5 years? No. Come on.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it, too. I mean, and some of it is like, it goes back to the gamesmanship that, Mo Bamba may have been saying that to say, like, no, I could go for, but I don't want to go there. It's like me saying, I love the Nobel. I'm actually not that interested in receiving the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm not. You know what? Honestly, like, I'm not that interested in dating Beyonce. I've said that before. I've just put that out there. I'm just not. It's not, not for me. Not for me, dog. So all this being said, is the likelihood now based on, let's just say the hypotheticals are true. Let's say it goes Ayton, Bagley, Doncic in some order. And it may not necessarily even be, Sacramento and Atlanta making those picks at 2 and 3. But in that order, prior to the Grizzlies, it's Ayton, Bagley, Doncic are off the board. At that point, then, is your preference to take best player available? Is your preference to trade? If you are running the draft room, what is it that you are going to do?
If those three guys are off the board, I'm trading down. I'm going to try to get to 6 or 7 or 8. I'm going to see if I can dump Chandler Parsons on somebody, and I'm going to take the best wing available at the pick that I can get back. That's what I'm going to do.
Do you have, would there be names? You've gone through a few of the names here and there. Is there an ideal haul that you take as a result of this?
I think Bridges is going to be there in that 7 and 8 spot, and I really like him for what he is. Beyond that, I don't really care. I mean, Wendell Carter's out there. I think he's going to be good. You mentioned Kevin Knox. I haven't really looked at those guys that deeply, but someone like that you know, one of these named guys that should be in the top 10, if they end up trading back in, staying in the top 10, trading back, getting one of those guys, I'm fine with it.
The other thing, too, this all plays into, in your mind, what does the draft have to do with free agency? Does that change anything about, you know, what's going on there, what they decide, who they're going to look at, Tyreek's situation? Does any of this affect that?
I don't think so, because they're still only going to have the mid-level to deal with unless they can dump Parsons. If they can move Parsons and come out of the draft with his salary off the books, I mean, they're going to have to take some salary back. So that they're going to get someone or something back. So that could change the complexion of what they need out of free agency. But they're probably still not going to have that much money to deal with, because they're not going to be able to dump that much salary.
Well, that's my other question, is how much is realistic to expect from a dump? Like, I could see, like, in a Chicago deal, Chicago's got a nice little cap space chunk that they could make happen. I could see you getting off of, like, Ben McLemore's deal. I could certainly see that. That's $5.5 million.
Trying to pretend he wasn't on the Grizzlies. So
that's not a huge savings, but it's, I think you could do 7.22 for, you know, four in McLemore, something like that. Or, you know, four in McLemore and another young player. If you want to clean out the roster a little bit, you know, Jarrell Martin or something like that, I think you could probably make something like that work. I do think the Clippers deal would be interesting. It sounds as though they're not going to do a Parsons deal, but I think I would do, like, I think, you know, Chris Harrington, our pal, was suggesting something along the lines of a Patrick Beverley, and the 12 and 13 for McLemore and the four, which, you know, Patrick Beverley's coming off a pretty nasty injury, but I would do something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense. Beverly's coming off an injury, but he definitely fills a need that they have.
He's very Grizzly. I mean, he's a classic prototype Grizzly. You got to be honest.
He's a classic Grizzlies player, and he also fits very neatly into the Mario Chalmers shaped crater in the practice facility. So, I could see that. That makes a lot of sense. I still think the Spurs are going to go after the 12 and 13 and then Leonard deal. But
do you think? Speaking of which, do you think that is there a Kawhi deal that happens pre-draft? Now that the much vaunted meeting has apparently happened between Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard in San Diego?
Yeah, I think, you know, McLemore and four for Kawhi Leonard makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Parsons in the four, baby. Come on now. You got to roll big on that one. Get off that deal.
Yeah, classic Spurs archetype, Chandler Parsons. actually, he plays like a 37-year-old white guy, so maybe that is actually
true. That is straight up, absolutely. Manu Ginobili's a lot healthier, though.
That's true. And much, anyway, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, we just saw, I guess, the Hornets just dumped Dwight Howard on the Nets. I think it's possible, but I don't know. I think that's probably going to go down to the wire on draft night. I think it's going to be, I'm excited about this draft night. I think a lot of crazy stuff's going to happen. You've got guys that could jump into the top 10 who aren't supposed to. You've got guys that could fall that aren't supposed to. You got a lot of trades that could happen. A lot of teams are going to try to clear up cap space. LeBron is out there hovering mysteriously somewhere in the Los Angeles metro area. There's a lot of crazy stuff could break loose on draft night. I think it's going to be really exciting.
Would you? How much would you be willing to give up to dump Parsons' contract?
The four.
You would take the four. You would do that?
I would do it for the right player in return. I mean, like I said, the deals that I like are deals that do actually make them better next year. If you could get Fournier is a guy who I wanted them to be able to sign instead of Parsons in the first place. I'm not sure Orlando's going to let go of him. I'm not sure why Orlando would do that deal. But if there's an ideal, like, silver bullet, I am extremely satisfied with this trade deal out there, it would be four and Parsons for six and 40.
Okay. I'm okay with that. That's all right. I mean, as long as you my worry would be to mortgage the future for the present. So if you in a Kawhi situation in some wild crazy world where that is even plausible, you're getting a year of Kawhi for what? I don't even know what the plan is next year for that. and you're not re-signing him in all likelihood, and then you've mortgaged your potential for serious growth with a four as a result. If you trade down and can get Parsons' contract as part of that deal, and you still end up with young player or players, you know, at the top of this draft, then I'm in most iterations I'd be fine with that. My worry would just be that you completely say, let's just get out of this thing altogether. Then I don't know what you're doing.
Then you're being the Grizzlies. I mean, that is the risk, right? That's something they've done before, is just totally sabotage their future in order to make the seventh seed in the current year. I think that potential is always out there until they don't do it, right? Yep. As long as Chris Wallace is under contract with the Grizzlies, there's a potential that they are going to screw up and make a short-term play.
So I'll ask you the question that I have asked the people this morning, the poll question that is out there on my Twitter, at Peter Edmiston, if you want to. If you want to vote on that, Kevin, you can. It's right there for you. The question is very simple. It is a yes or no question. It is, so no matter what happens, is this whole draft thing going to work out for the Grizzlies?
We'll see.
No. This is a yes or no. This is a binary question. This is it yes or no? Is it going to work out or is it not? One way or the other. Whether it's their fault or not, I'm not ascribing blame or, you know, anything like that. It could be totally out of their control. I'm just saying, is it going to work out?
I think it is going to, but that doesn't make me any less fearful.
Ooh, okay, so you're a tentative yes. You can go and vote yes on the poll. Yes needs your help, by the way, because we're nearing the 700 vote mark this morning, and it's 75% say no. This is not going to work out well for the Grizzlies. So the optimism is not flying real high this morning.
I've said on this program before, they have to prove that they're not going to screw up before anyone will believe that they're not going to screw up.